Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the gospel account according to Mark. On our last program, we left off in chapter number 3. We were talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned on last week's program, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is so serious because there is an intent to hinder or harm the work of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. That's what the Pharisees and scribes were doing. They were speaking with the intent to injure or harm the work of the Spirit, who was enabling Jesus and his disciples to perform these incredible miracles, among them the casting out of demons. And by saying that this was done by the power of Satan, the Pharisees and scribes were standing in the way of the multitudes coming to their own conclusions. And so too, someone who speaks with the intent to injure or harm the Spirit is standing in the way of others coming to the Lord. This is why blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is so serious. Mark goes on to tell us in verse number 31 that his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." Now, you might remember on last week's program, we talked about how his family had come to him because they thought he was insane. Here in verses 31 through 34, we see Jesus essentially abandoning his family. Now, that's a curious thing to do, especially when we see in other sections of the scripture where God tells us to honor our father and our mother. It seems, or it would seem, that Jesus is treating his mother very dishonorably. And yet we must keep in mind what is happening, or what appears to be happening based on this and based on other passages like John chapter 7. It appears that Jesus' family had real doubts about who he was. We know from John chapter 7 that his brothers did not believe in him. And it at least appears in this section that even his mother had her doubts. Now, that's kind of hard to conceive, given the fact that Mary had miraculously given birth to this man, but she is listed among those who have their doubts. And so as Jesus looks around him and sees people who want to learn, people who don't think he's insane, people who want to be healed and want to believe in him, his conclusion is simple. Look, my family doesn't want to do the will of God. You do. And so you have become my family. You know, this is such a comfort to many of us. Sometimes following after the Lord means we have to leave behind people that we love very much, people that we hold dear. We can't go the same way with them because they're not following after the Lord. Well, Jesus knows what that's like because he had to do the same thing himself. His mother and his brothers did not believe in him. Not at this point. They do later, but at this point, they've got their doubts. And so Jesus says, "Whoever does the will of God, they're my family." In chapter number 4, Mark tells us that he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus has had to abandon the idea of going to a synagogue or teaching inside a home. So he just gets out in a boat and goes out into the sea. And I wonder, is this because he was spending so much time healing people that he could never get as much time in teaching as was needed? Maybe that's the reason why he goes to this drastic measure, it would appear. That being said, he gives us a very good parable. And this parable helps us understand how people come into the kingdom of God. In verse number 10, when he's alone, those around him and the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Jesus spoke in parables for a purpose. His purpose was to hide the truth from those who weren't really interested in hearing the truth. Unfortunately, there are just some people who, regardless of how much we talk to them, regardless of how much we reason with them, how many scriptures we show them, they're never going to come to faith. They're never going to enter into the kingdom of God. But there were people. There were people who did want to know. The 12 apostles and others who were close to Jesus, they wanted to understand the message Jesus had shared with them. Of course, they want to know why he's speaking to them in parables. It must have been one of the things that separated Jesus' teaching from that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were so apt to just offer interpretations and quote from rabbis. I'm sure that the use of parables was much, much different. And the disciples want to know why. And Jesus simply says, well, because this is God's intent. He quotes from Scripture. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." I think all that God means by this is, as I said earlier, there are some people who refuse to understand, who refuse to know. They don't want to do any more looking into it. They don't want to come to faith. And so the teachings of Jesus seem strange to them, seem odd, out of place, however you want to put it. But to those who really want to know, the mysteries of the kingdom of God can be known. He goes on to explain the parable, beginning in verse number 13. "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So Jesus says there are some people with whom you share the word, and before it can really take root, before it can really begin to take hold in their mind and their heart, Satan comes along and he snatches it away, just like a bird of the air comes down and snatches that good seed. "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Now here's a different type of person. Here's a person who, for a time, receives the word of Christ. They believe it. They're glad to have it. But as soon as the hard times come along, they fall away because there is no strength. that word has not taken deep root. That's the seed that's sown on stony ground. As soon as some time of intense trial comes along, they fade away. He goes on in verse number 18. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here's another case where external influences can destroy the faith of some people. Some people receive the message of Christ, and for a time they're glad, for a time they even bear fruit. But then there are forces at work in the world. Jesus says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things choke the word. So you can imagine, here's a person who's come to faith in Jesus, but basically the world overcomes them and chokes that word out. Finally, Jesus says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Finally, there is one type of soil that will bring forth a healthy plant in the kingdom of God. There's one type of person who hears the word and goes on to produce a great crop for the Lord. They don't allow the cares of this life. They don't allow things like persecution to stand in their way. Instead, they endeavor to be fruitful. Now, these four soils are representative of four hearts, if you will. And as I draw this morning's lesson to a close, I want you to think, what type of soil are you? Maybe you're listening to this program and you're immediately dismissing everything that I have to say because you really don't believe in Jesus Christ or God. And as soon as you flip the dial or turn off this program, it will have left you. Or maybe you're someone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and you're fired up, you're excited. But a time of testing is right around the corner. Or slowly you're letting the word creep in. Are you going to be the person who is only faithful to Jesus for a season? And as soon as other things come along, your fruitfulness disappears? Or do you have the kind of heart in which the Word of God can be planted, you can become a committed member of the Lord's body, and you can live a life that is a glory to God? My friend, I hope that you are in that final category. Let us all endeavor to be that good soil, that we might lead the kind of lives that will produce fruit in the kingdom of God.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things. From Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David, we see examples of God favoring people who believe in Him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in His Son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.